diva Friday, frontline, Friday, frontline, Friday, frontline, Friday, frontline, Friday, it's frontline, Friday, frontline, Friday, it's frontline, Friday,
Ebony, I got the diva, like Ebony, I got the diva, like Ebony, I got the diva, like Ebony, I got the diva,
Friday, you're an artist. Business. Artists about your business. Business that's artistic. Here we showcase the gifted. Come tune in and get lifted. Learn to hustle and flip it. Whether you're on a budget or riding around and getting it. Got promo at the wazoo. Call in, we'll spot you. All the artists on fire, so you know that music hot too. We got you, can't knock it. Interviews the topic. Yeah, the haters won't block it, but a freight train could stop it. We on the spot, on the grind. On the spot, on the grind. On the spot, on the grind, on the spot, on the grind. We on the spot, on the grind, on the spot, on the grind, on the spot, on the grind, on the spot, on the grind.
Hey Ebony, B, I got your diva. Hey Ebony, B, I got your diva. Hey Ebony, B, I got your diva. Hey Ebony, B, I got your diva.
Welcome to frontline Friday. It's frontline Friday. Welcome to frontline Friday. It's frontline.
It's Frontline Fridays, y'all, and y'all know what time it is. It's Frontline Fridays with Diva Ebony B, Tay Black, each and every Friday, 7 p.m. on the west and 10 p.m. on the east. Y'all make sure y'all call us up at www.blog.com. 347-850-1521. That's 347-850-1521. And jump in our chat room at www.blogtalkradio.com/Diva Spot. Y'all know how we get it in. Of course, Frontline Fridays wouldn't be Frontline Fridays without my without my favorite baby daddy. He ain't taking no slack. Tay Black, what's going on, baby?
Yo, what's going on? You already know what it is. Frontline Friday, your favorite day of the week. And it's been a long week, y'all. I'm talking about going in work early, getting off work late. But we already know what it is, man. Frontline Fridays, man. If you're on the West Coast, this is your destination. Before your destination, if you want to eat, this is your spot while you en route. You already know what it is, man. Show some love to Diva Ebony B. Make sure you hit us up, 347-850-1521. That's 347-850-1521. Press the one button to be heard. Shout out to everybody. We feeling good, Diva. It's Ebony B. I got you, Diva.
Big shout out to S. Polly for the hot drop, man. We got some excited stuff, y'all, tonight. We got some great news coming. We're going to save that tape, like, going to hit y'all up with some great news. Also, we're going to talk about our hot topic tonight, which is Nelson Mandela. Yes, it is Black History Month. Yes, it is the Love Month. Yes, it is Diva Ebony B Birthday Month. But we're going to get our Black History on, and we're going to start with Nelson Mandela. Also, that's going to be our Educate and Regulate session. And also, we're going to go ahead and take him to church a little while later. But right now, let's get into some of this hot music. Frontline Fridays plays nothing but the hottest in and out of the industry. And I'm going to take y'all back right now. I want to see who knows this song. Let's go. Frontline Fridays, powered by Phenomenal Radio, baby. It's phenomenal.
We will not bow down to a racist. nation, we will not bow down to injustice. We will not bow down to exploitation. I'm gonna
change? Shit. I guess change is good for any of us. Whatever it takes for any of y'all niggas to get up out the hood. Shit, I'm with you. I ain't mad at you. Got nothing but love for you. Do your thing, boy. Yeah. All the homies that I ain't talked to in a while. I'ma send this one out for y'all. Know what I mean? Cause I ain't mad at you. Heard y'all tearing up shit out there, kicking up dust, giving a motherfuck. Yeah, niggas. Cause I ain't mad at you. Now we was once two niggas of the same kind, quick to holler at a hoochie with the same line. You was just a little smaller, but you still roll. Got stressed to YA and hit the hood swole. Remember when you had a Jerry curl, didn't quite learn. On the block with your Glock, tripping off Sherm. Collect calls to the tilt, saying how you changed. Oh, you a Muslim now, no more dope game. Heard you might be coming home, just got bail. Wanna go to the mosque, don't wanna chase tail. It seems I lost my little homie, he's a changed man. Hit the pen and now no sinning, it's a game plan. When I talk about money, all you see is the struggle. When I tell you I'm living large, you tell me it's trouble. Congratulations on the wedding. I hope your wife knows she got a player for life. And that's no bullshitting. I know we grew apart, you probably don't remember. I used to be for your sister, but never went up in her. And not to see us after school, we bomb on the first motherfucker with the wrong shit on. Now the whole shit's changed, and we don't even kick it. Got a big money scheme, and you ain't even with it. Knew in my heart you was the same motherfucker bad. Go toe to toe when it's time for war, you got a brother's back. And I can't even trip, cause I'm just laughing at you. You trying hard to maintain, then go ahead, cause I ain't mad at you. Mad at you. We used to be like distant cousins, fighting, playing dozens, old neighborhood buzzing, knowing that we buzz it. Used to catch us on the roof or behind the stairs. I'm getting ripped and I reminisce on all the time we said. Besides moving and grinding, wasn't nothing on our mind. In time, we learned to live a life of crime. We'll grind us back to a time was much too young enough. I caught a felony loving the way the gun bluff. And even though we separated, you said that you waved. Don't get nobody no coochie while I be locked up safe. I kiss my mama goodbye, wipe the tears from my lonely eyes. Said I'll return, but I gotta fight to fix the ride. Don't shed a tear, cause mama, I ain't happy here. I'm too proud, no more smiles for a couple years. They got me going mad, I'm knocking busters on their backs. In my cell, picking hell, I know one day I'll be back. As soon as I touch down, I told my girl I'll be there. So prepare to get fucked down. The homies wanna kick it, but I'm slapping at you. Cause you's a down ass bitch, and I ain't mad at you. From a nobody nigga to the big man on the block. He's Mr. Local Celebrity, addicted to moving key, most hated by enemies, escaping the luxury. See, first you was our nigga, but you made it, so the choice is made. Now we gotta slay you while you fade. In the younger days, so full of pain when the weapons blade. Getting so high off that bomb, hoping we make it to the better day. Cause crime pays, and in time, you'll find a rhyme ablaze. You'll feel the fire from the niggas in my younger days. So many changed on me, so many try to plot, but I keep a Glock beside my head. When will it stop? Tell God return me to my essence. Cause even as an adolescent, I refuse to be a convalescent. So many questions, and they ask me if I'm still down. I moved up out of the ghetto, so I ain't real now. They got so much to say, but I'm just laughing at you. Niggas just don't know, but I ain't mad at you.
What up, y'all? It's your boy EP, Elder Bars Jr. You're now tuned in live on Frontline Fridays, powered by Phenomenal Radio with Diva Ebony B and Tay Black, dropping nothing but hot indie artists and music. Tune in live at DivaSpotRadio.com.
Yo, this is Lady G. You are now tuned in live with Diva Mary Kay, Miss Motivation I See You, and Tay Black on Frontline Fridays, where all hot indie artists and music is live and bumping. Featuring nothing but true soldiers. Watch me do my thing. Watch me do my thing. Stay tuned for Bad Chicks. Stay on top.
Let's go.
Make sure you check out Diva Mary Kay on Frontline Friday, where all hot indie artists and music live. For info, call 908-296-5739.
Y'all know what time it is. It's your girl, Diva Ebony B, and we back in this thing, Frontline Fridays, each and every Friday, 7 p.m. on the West, 10 p.m. on the East. Big shout out to everybody that tune in to Frontline Fridays when we're live. Also, that listen to us later on their way on the go on our free amp. You can get the free amp and hear me and Tay anytime. All you got to do is go to your Google Playbook and download the TuneIn Radio amp and make Frontline Fridays or Diva Spot Radio your prison, and make sure you make Phenomenal Radio your prison as well, because we are definitely doing it big.com. Y'all make sure y'all call us up, 347-850-1521. That's 347-850-1521, because it's a phenomenal situation.
Phenomenal Radio, the new station of Washington.
The other station, they're a beat off. This is Phenomenal Radio.
This is Phenomenal Radio, man. Y'all make sure y'all jump in our chat room, too. Go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Diva Spot. Again, that's www.blogtalkradio.com/Diva Spot. Now, at the top of the show, I played a very, very, very unique song. And I want to know if y'all know this song. So, Tay, and it was so powerful. I'm going to play it in the background so you guys can hear it, because when I heard it, I was like, oh, this got to go on the show. But Tay, can you tell me what that song was, King?
Yo, I can, it's like on the tip of my tongue, yo, and I remember the joint, but I just can't call it, yo. Maybe if I was sitting down at the crib, but I was just zoned out listening to it, yo.
Yo, if that song right there is Freedom. It had Aaliyah on it, Changing Faces, it Vogue, Pharrell, Jay, Mary J. Blige, TLC, all the pioneers before all these other chicks came along. I'm not going to name any names tonight, not tonight, but it's definitely a powerful song. Listen to it. Listen to what she's saying. Just hearing that song alone, Queen Latifah was on there too, let's not forget her, but just hearing that song right now, we will not bow down to racism, we will not bow down to exploitation, we will not bow down, we won't, and we haven't at all, and that's why I want to definitely give and pay homage to Nelson Mandela. Again, Nelson Mandela, we're going to educate and regulate on him tonight in a few after we come back from the call lines, and I want you guys to give me your feedback. It's all about crowd participation in the first hour of the show. And then the second hour, we play nothing but hot independent music. We got music from Tay Black. We got music from Slim Baby. We got music from Slay Stone. We got music from Money Meek. We got music from Maniac. She got that hot song, I Have a Dream. We also got music from Lady G. We got music from Future. Yes, I got a track from Future that I actually like. It's going to play it on the show tonight. So you guys call us up, 347-850-1521. That's 347-850-1521. And press the one button to be heard. Say, you got some news that everybody needs to hear about, because you're doing some big things coming up in March. So I wanted everybody that's listening to hear about it before we open up their line.
Yo, appreciate that, Diva. I just want to say, first off, big shout out to Diva Ebony B. Big shout out to Slate and Phenomenal Radio, Frontline Friday. They've definitely been putting on for me and making sure that I have everything that I need. And I just want to be able to be be myself and put myself in a position to give back to them as well. And big shout out to my homie Triple Threat. Triple. Big shout out to, you know, her label, Brave New Breed. Big shout out to her artist, Young Rel. Shout out to Oak Rose. Shout out to Ryan Lucas. Shout out to my homeboy, DJ Destruction. Just shout out to everybody in the mix. Shout out to my homegirl, Persia Red. Everybody that's been showing love, that's been down. Shout out to my homie, Mike Lung. I just got some news from Triple that we got the contract over to lock in our venue for South by Southwest. We're going to be rocking out down there for a day show Thursday. I believe that's the 14th. As far as all the details, who is on the show, what we have going on, sponsors, available slots, all that information, that is definitely coming soon. You can DM me, hit me on Twitter. That's at DayBlack84. You can hit up Diva Mary Kay. That's at Diva Ebony B. Hit up Triple. That's at Trey Brett, T-R-E-T-H-R-E-A-T. And hit up Young Rel. That's Y-O-U-N-G-R-E-L-L-B-N-B. Yo, hit us up because we have some pertinent information for you. If you're trying to get onto the DMV, the South by Southwest mixtape, let us know. It is more than affordable for what you're getting for it. Diva just updated me tonight and said, if you're down and if you're trying to get on it, she's going to bless you, and I mean bless you, with an interview on Frontline Friday. So that alone has just, like, made it worth investing in it, for real, for real. But we got that going on, you know what I mean? We have performance slots that are available right now, so hit us up for more details on that. Phenomenal Radio has just updated me today. They are going to be live in the building for our event, as well as Frontline Friday at Diva Ebony B. She's going to have her presence out there, so yo, we got it jam-packed, man. We're going to be big. I feel like, I was telling Triple, y'all, I feel like the money theme right now. You know what I'm saying? Ray J was like, yo, we got indoor pool, outdoor pool. Yo, our venue, we the money venue right now. Because we got indoor stage and outdoor stage. We got indoor performance area and outdoor performance area. You know what I mean? We got bar on deck. Yo, we got sponsorships out the wazoo. Like, we got love right now. And I mean, it's all for the independent artists that we're working with. It's all for the major artists that we're working with that's showing us love. Yo, just make sure you hit us up, man, because Diva, that's, you know what I mean, she's going to be out there. Slate, Slim, Phenomenal, they're going to be out there. Brave New Breed, they're going to be out there, man. We working, man. So, yo, if you can't make it out there, make sure you hit up that DMV, the South by Southwest mixtape. But if you're coming out there, make sure you hit us up for this venue opportunity. That's it, Diva. That's all I can lay on them. Until then, that's it right now.
Stay tuned for more promo information and promo tweets on that. Let's go ahead and open up the lines and get some love where we get into our educating regulate session on Nelson Mandela. Yeah! I love my black. Shout out, Denial. What's up, baby? Holler at me.
What's good? What's good? How are you, Miss Lady?
I'm doing fine. Peace, Queen. Peace.
Congrats on the slot by South by Southwest. That's awesome. Much love for that.
Thank you so much.
I got a piece coming in the mail from Denied Designs for you. I got a piece coming in the mail, man. I got this hot piece of jewelry. Boy, it's going to get turned up. It's coming in the mail. I can't wait for it to get here. Diva is going to turn up. Thank you, Denied. Make sure you check out Denia, all her hot jewelry, man. I'm so excited. Denia, hey, put the website out there so everybody can get
them. Yes, yes, yes. That's www.deniaazure.com. All you gotta do is write DanayaAzure.com, baby. Music, jewelry, everything is over there. Check it out. Got client pics.
Man, I'm sorry, Peter. I didn't mean to cut you off. I'm listening.
Yeah, got client pics up there. Got my music. I have a couple videos from me dancing and singing and all that kind of stuff. So it's fun. Go check it out. And, of course, Valentine's Day is, like, what, in 2 weeks? gentlemen, go over there, get something for your lady. It's not going to be hella expensive. I do make custom pieces, but for that, you got to hit me up on the email. And that's DANAYADD4U@yahoo.com. Or you can tweet me at DANAYADD4U on Twitter.
Hello. Let's get to this Educate Your Regulate session, man. I've been waiting on this. I'm so excited about the new things that I learned about my culture and my history and our black leaders. Let's go ahead and get into it. Let's go.
It's time to educate and regulate. It's time to educate and regulate. It's time to educate and regulate. On the front line with Diva Ebony B. It's time to educate and regulate. It's time to educate and regulate. It's time to educate and regulate. On the front line with Diva Ebony B. Hey, Queen, gon' do some. Hey, Queen, gon' do some. Hey, Queen, won't you do some? On the front line, Diva Ebony B. Hey, Queen, gon' do some. Hey, Queen, gon' do some. Hey, Queen, what you do some? On the front line with Diva Ebony B.
Come on, come on.
Y'all already know how we get down. We educating and regulating on Frontline Fridays, each and every Friday, 7 p.m. on the west and 10 p.m. on the east. Tonight we are talking about one of our great black leaders, Nelson Mandela. Nelson Mandela is a South African anti-immigrant activist, a revolutionary and a politician who served as president of South Africa from 1994 to 1999. The first to be elected in a full representative multiracial election. Nelson Mandela was born July 18, 1918. His education, he went to school at the Heldentown Comprehensive School. He was awarded a Cup War Prize, the Nobel Peace Prize, which I'm so blessed that he was, and I hope to achieve that in my life one day. The Person of the Year, the Congressional Gold Medal of Honor, the Presidential Medal of Freedom. The list goes on and on and on. And he also has a couple of books that we need to step our games up. He has a couple of books. One of them is The Long Walk to Freedom. Another one is In the Words of Nelson Mandela, House Generator, and another one is called Mandela. One great thing that we can all take advantage of, because everybody is on the internet, go to www.nelsonmandela.org. That's nelsonmandela.org. Make your donation. Read up on Nelson Mandela, the life and times of Nelson Mandela. You want to know who this person is, and I really believe, and I was sharing this with my King Genius, I think about 2 weeks ago, how the re-educating of our people. It's not that we don't have better and that we don't want better. We need to be re-educated, and we need to take the time out to educate ourselves on our own history and our black culture, because, you know, America is so used and they're comfortable with us being the image of drug dealers, pimps, prostitutes, hoes, video vixens, murderers, jail inmates. They are comfortable with that image. But as y'all can pay attention, like Common, you know, Kwale Todd Lee, all those self-conscious artists and rappers that's come out, they don't get the panel or the pen that all the other rappers get. Why? Because they don't want them to educate the people. So continue to educate yourself. I really thought it was really cool. And let me get my background music, because I just really like background music. But I thought it was really cool when I was reading the call lines. I see y'all with your hands up. The Life and Times of Nelson Mandela. He has a few names, and if I pronounce them incorrectly, somebody please correct me. I'm not one to say, "Oh, why you correct me?" I like to be corrected because I'm getting educated and I'm growing and learning. But he had a couple of names, and they have a couple of meanings. So let's see if I can get this right. Mr. Nelson Mandela is sometimes called by other names. Each of his names has its own special meaning and story. When you use them, you should know what you are saying and why. So here's a brief explanation of what each name is. Nelson, the name given to him on his first day at school by his teacher, Miss Madigan. Giving African children English names was a custom among Africans in those days. It was influenced by British colonists who could not easily or often could not pronounce African names. It is unclear why Miss Madigan chose the name Nelson for Mandela. So that's where the Nelson comes from. Another name that he was called by was Maduba or Madiba. This is the name of a clan of which Mr. Mandela is a member. A clan is much more important than a surname, as it refers to the ancestry from which a person is descended. Madiba or Madiba was the name of the Thurbu chief who ruled in the Transkei in the 18th century. It was considered very polite to use someone's clan name. The next name that I want to say is Tata. This word means father, or is a term for endearment that many South Africans use for Mr. Mandela. Since he is the father figure to many, they call him Tata regardless of their own age. We're going to educate and regulate a little bit more, but of course I want to get y'all feedback on it. Let's go ahead and bring in King. Let's go ahead and bring in Genius. Hey, King. Peace, King.
Oh, this is J. Real the Realist.
Oh, J. Real the Realist. Oh, King. Peace.
But I mean, peace. I appreciate the genius, you know. How's everybody doing this evening? How are my queens and kings doing this evening?
How are you?
I'm fine. I mean, I know I'm trying to jump in the rotation who you thought I was, but you know, myself being as deep into our history as I am, Diva, you know, I've definitely came across Mr. Nelson, Mr. 30 years imprisoned, you know. They locked that man up for 30 years, and he came out of prison after 30 years and took the presidency. This is just a sign of some of our strengths. And no matter what the stereotype is, I know it'd be better to see, you know, if we turned on the TV and seen black people in a better light, then maybe we wouldn't dislike the people we look at on the streets. But when we look at a situation like this, where a man has been, his freedom has been stripped from him, and instead of building 30 years of hatred, he just devised a plan for 30 years to get out and get things positive back right. So definitely, much blessings to the brother. I mean, man, he's a scholar, he's an honor, he's our father, he's our mother, he's a picture of where we needed to be. I have actually, like I said, been doing a lot of research on different individuals, him, Marcus Garvey, other individuals, not just due to the fact that it's Black History Month, but, you know, our Black history is year-round, and we shouldn't wait until Martin Luther King's birthday, or we shouldn't wait until Black History Month to have this, you know, everybody start going buy kufis and everybody start buying these African medallions and stuff just for this month. This is a lifetime journey to find out where we came from and who we are. And our children need to know that their history is just not bottled in the 28 days. Their history is all year round. Everything that our people have ever touched, there's evidence of it. When you turn on the TV, when you pull up to the stoplight, when you use your scissors, when you use the washing machine, when you use the water heater, these are all inventions of people who look like you. So we need to understand that Black history is every day. When you turn a doorknob and go out your house, you know who invented, who put down the patent for that lock so you can make sure your valuables are protected when you leave home? Somebody who looks like you, you know. And I know I talk excessively. I'm not trying to take up all the time, but that was just what I wanted to give to it.
Thank you, King. Peace, King. I appreciate that. I'm going to keep your mic open because, of course, we're going to want more input from you on this thing. I want to throw it over to Tay real fast before we open up the other callers.
Yeah, I think J. Real the Realist just
I really think he spoke to everything that we all feel that is really important, because it's not just about these 28 days, man. You know what I mean? And he made a good point, man. It's really about the 28 days later, you know what I'm saying, and what you're continuing to push forward. And, you know, we are a wealth of knowledge. We've been around our heritage, our culture, like you said, our inventions. We've been around for so long, and we have so much to offer. Not only, you know, people or our peers or us our age, but, you know, our young people, man. You'd be surprised at just how inspiring we could be to them. So, I mean, just, you know, shout out to, you know, Mandela, because, you know, everybody be talking about their favorite rapper and when they get out and what they get. But I don't know no rapper that came out and was president of a place so bad. So I don't know anybody that accomplished that. I don't know anybody that put up them years like that and came out probably a better person than what they did going in. So, I mean, much love and support, man.
I think it has a lot to do with the knowledge that he obtained and the strive and the drive that he had when he was in there. And that's why I think it's so important, you guys. Sometimes life happens, we get hurt, we get broke, you know, we lose our jobs and things happen, and it seems like the situation is so worse. But then here's the thing, is what you do with what you learn in the midst of your pain, in the midst of your struggle, in the midst of your bondage. You know, just because you're in an uncomfortable place, it's good for you to be uncomfortable, because it's causing you to think above and beyond your means and what you thought before, so you can be able to not only change your thinking, but when you get out, you want to make some change. It doesn't have to mean for us to get out of jail. We can get out of relationships. We can get out of jobs. We can get out of addiction and be able to change somebody's life. I really appreciate the Nelson Mandela, because he was a freedom fighter to the end. It did not matter. I am a freedom fighter, and he stood on his word, and he said, I'm going to keep educating the people. I'm going to keep teaching them. I'm going to keep giving them power. And for all of us, and for those who don't know, excuse me, not all of us, I can't include us, for those who don't know and who don't overstand, is that we are a people of power. It does not matter where you put us or what you do to us, we are going to overcome. There is no need to try to go against us anyway, because we're very smart, we're very creative, we're very intuitive, and we gonna grind. Because for a lot of us, no only means is another way. I encourage all of us who's listening on this line and everybody to share our history and our culture. Because the thing about it is, a lot of Africans, and I'm not using African Americans no more, I decided not to. African people, we suffer from identity crisis. And it's only because we were kidnapped out of our land and sold of our land. We were taken from our land and brought to a different culture and brought to America, where they decided to use us for their labor, for their slaves. They started to use us, and then they said, well, we need to teach them our culture. A lot of people didn't realize, why are you not comfortable in your own damn skin, in your own damn home? Why are you not comfortable, you know, with certain groups? Because that's not of you. And I started to overstand, and I started to ponder and think about, because I was raised up Baptist. I was raised up in a Baptist church. I done went to many different churches. And I'm like, why isn't none of this really sticking to me the way it's supposed to stick to me? And my inner spirit, my spirit woman, said to me, that is not your culture. That is a European culture. You did not come from that. You did not speak that way. You don't look like them. You don't talk like that. You didn't come from America. That's why you can't get it right. That's why
I excuse me, Diva. This is J Real talking. I just want to kind of elaborate just a little bit without taking too much time away from the main subject. With that situation, what we need to start doing is we need to stop referring. And I know we fought, and it's because of the levels that we had to fight. At first, we were just being called, niggers. you know, or Negro. Then we took up
black.
Colors. Then we took up all these different, you know, we're taking up all these different, we say we don't want to be called Negro. We want to be called this. Then, you know, we're settling on this African-American. But see, I'm not an African-American. I mean, I'm not an African-American. I'm an American-African. I'm an African in America. I'm an African who was born in America. I'm an African who parents are African, who great-great-grandparents are African. And we see, we need, once we understand the separation, and like I said, I'm not trying to jump subject, but Malcolm X taught equality through through separation. Actually, essentially, what the thing is, we need to cut ties with people who don't look like us or influence people who look like us so we can find out who we are, and then we can reiterate ourselves back into society as functioning members. But as long as the TV comes on and we want to be what we see, because we've been taught that what we are is wrong. We've been taught that the hair being nappy is ugly. We've been taught that the darker skinned you are, the more niggerish you are, the more ghetto you are. We've been taught that our beautiful black queens, we've been taught that they are nothing but this and that, and then you black queens have been taught that us men are this. Once we can get past all that, and the biggest thing is, like you say, Queen, finding out where we come from, knowing your accomplishments, know what your great-granddaddy did, and not just what he had to fight through. Every black man had to deal with racism in America. It's still dealing with racism in America on certain levels. But it's not about the struggles. Learn about the positive things that we did that they took from us, called their own, and then we'll start to see, okay, I need to separate myself from this, because this is not of me. It's not of my origin. It doesn't even feel right. Now, a lot of people don't understand about the baggy, saggy pants and all that type of stuff, and the way we wear our T-shirts, six sizes too big, the way we turn our hats to the side. This is, at one point in time, the way we dressed and the way we look was the only way we could express ourselves. Verbally or in some type of educational form would get us killed or get us beat. So wearing our clothes is something that we adopted because it was one of those last things that we could control, and that's why we went the totally opposite. And that's why some of our people, our young men especially, they don't want to get up and go get the, not to say that they're lazy, but if they feel weird putting on suits and ties. They feel weird getting a haircut or, you know, shaving or whatnot, because it's not their daily, it's not taught to them that this is what you're supposed to look like. And so, of course, when you got a job interview and they say be interview ready, you don't even feel right. And some might even say, you know what, I'm not even going because I got to wear a tie or I can't look the way I normally look. We need to get out of that. We invented styles and genres. We invent stuff. We're inventors. We set trends. We don't follow trends. We set trends.
Okay. But I mean, the one thing that was covered, I know I done set a couple of trends. Let's go to the car. Let's go to the
car. But this is very important. We must realize that people, we've struggled, but we are great. We are great now. The Industrial Revolution. You as a black person, you were the Industrial Revolution.
Yes.
You were the machines before the cotton gin and the cotton bell and the air conditioning and all these other machines that mass produce items. Who was mass producing the items before then? We were the Industrial Revolution. That's why so much of the inventions are accredited to us. The fan, the ceiling fan, the household fan that keeps you cool, that blows back and forth, that was invented by a black man. Why? Because the white man, you know, no disrespect to anybody who's of Caucasian or European nature, but let's just get down to bare facts. Why would somebody in the big house sitting up under constant cool air need a fan? Why would he need to have the
cleaning them?
Why would the idea of building a fan come to him? Where did gumbo come from? Where did chitlin? Where did this stuff come from? It came because that's what we had to work with, and in being in such harsh conditions, we tried to do and build whatever we could to make our lives easier. And what happened was somebody came and saw what we were doing, and because we were so-called their property, our inventions were so-called their property. There was no need for no slave master to have a fan. But who was in the cabin in the wood in the sweltering heat who needed some type of air, the air conditioner unit and all these types, the water heater, the heating unit, that the all these things is accredited to people who did not have it or did not have the use of it. And so they had to invent something to do it. We are inventive people. We need to stop looking at these BETs and these MTVs and all this other stuff that's dumbing our natural, historic, inventive mind. Is dumbing it down. It's really dumbing it down. The microwave and all that type of stuff. Even though we invented the microwave, we're a microwave generation.
And even now, I'm going to pause you right there. And even if you have a large platform like we do, and if you have a following, and if you're popular, and you got people looking at you, then you are being held accountable for what you're doing to our culture. I will hold you accountable. I don't care who you is. And, oh, Rick Ross, I'm glad you're getting yours, boo. Holla at you, baby. I'm glad you're getting yours because you took poison and you took danger and you took things and you decided to take a situation, evil, a crime, and glorify a lifestyle that poisoned and killed our people. So guess what? I got love for you, man. Diva love you and Diva pray for you. But the fact of the matter is you getting yours now because the poison that you put out is now being brought back to you. Let's bring Money Meek in on this thing. Money Meek, you here, baby?
Yeah, I'm definitely here, D, man. K, what's good with you? What's good with you, T, D? Y'all, what's good with you?
Money, man.
Anything, Wavy, I definitely y'all talk about Mandela, man. Mandela went through a lot, man. Like, people don't even know, you know, Mandela went to college and everything, man. You know, it's been a long way for Mandela, man. You know, he was basically put at a test of manhood where he had to be circumcised at 16. You know, for to be circumcised at 16 is a little critical for a man at 16. You know what I'm saying? You think you should be, that's the way you is. Him and a couple other guys, you know, he wound up later starting to fund a little movement going on, and the movement got real big, about 150 guys. You had the new breed of African activists that challenged them, and, you know, he was later charged with treason. Being though he was charged with treason, but, you know, they wound up beating it, was acquitted of all charges. And, you know, he was basically like forced into a marriage because, you know, this guy, the chief of the, you know, African committee says, hey, I gotta get married. It's time for me to get married. You know, he wound up fleeing to another country, out in South Africa, and where he worked as a clerk and all the things that he was doing. Also, you know, Mandela's father was like a semi rich man at the time. Only thing about it, you know, he couldn't gain the rep line from his dad unless he was circumcised. That's how the whole circumcision came about. Mandela runs long, man. Like I said, he's been in college. He done a lot as a black man. Besides this, see, people only know him.
I can't see back, buddy. Feedback. You got me on speaker.
Yeah, can I bring it down? Can you hear me better now?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you know, Mandela is only basically known from just the time he served. You know, he was already an activist as a black cultural, black African man, period.
That's why he got time anyway.
Yeah, that's why he got time.
Because
he was an activist.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was already doing functional things and activist.
And that's what I wanted to say.
That was
too.
The reason that he
we
got
gotta
that.
Start putting a lot of us are activists too. That's what I want to say to y'all too. A lot of us are activists too. So we gotta really educate ourselves on the things. And I see you, dope. We gotta educate ourselves and how to protect ourselves when, you know, these laws or people decide to come at us because we are speaking the truth. We are exposing the light. We are exposing the history, because once we start to educate the people and empower the people, and I thought this was so powerful. I seen it on Facebook, and it was a picture of Harriet Tubman. Shout out to you, Harriet Tubman. And it said, I freed 1,000 slaves, and I would have been able to free 1,000 more if they knew they were slaves.
You understand me?
You know,
that's what we're dealing with right now. That's what we're dealing with right now. Y'all don't even know y'all slaves.
Exactly.
You don't even know your slaves.
Slavery's not dead. And that's the biggest misconception out there. Slavery is not dead. If you're sitting there and you're working a job that's paying $40,000, you got $80,000 in loans, you're still a slave because you're still trying to pay back this. If you're sitting there and you're just working to pay bills, you're still a slave because you're not able to live your life. Period. Slavery is not dead. That's the misconception that we have. I saw one of my friends had posted before about we had whips and chains before. What are we singing about whips and chains? Slavery ain't dead.
Oh, that's
you
fine.
Know,
let's read
well. He was
right on point. Right on.
You know, Mandela, he started a whole basically a peaceful of nonviolence defiance committee. See what I'm saying? Okay. That was basically founded under Tambo, Mandela and Tambo. You know, by then, you know, he was arrested. Basically, like I said, on charges of treason because they wound up starting this activist
right.
movement, you know, because there was a lot of still racist things going on in Africa. And, you know, at that time, they felt as though, you know, they was past that. Plus, you know, like I said, Mandela's father had a little wealth line, man. But, you know, once his father died, and I think he's about nine, he couldn't get the money because he wasn't circumcised. See what I'm saying?
Right.
He was passed on through another tribal leader that was basically cool with his father and was promised his father that he would look out for Mandela, but actually, the dude took the wealth line and, you know, basically ain't do what he's supposed to do by Mandela, man. And this is where all these acts and stuff started coming and to sabotage, which basically turned into basically guerrilla war tactics, you know what I'm saying, that sent him to jail. See what I'm saying? Mandela was already active as a black African man, period. You know what I'm saying? People only know Mandela for, he just did time. You got to go in the history of that man. That man is a great man, and he's still living today at, what, 94, 95? I think he's about 95 now. Mandela's a serious brother, man. And, you know, his strength come from God. You know what I'm saying? Like they did, I think, one of them saying, you know, surviving 30 years in prison and then doing what he was doing before the prison thing. You know, he's a great man. You know, I big him up. I look up to him as an African black man myself, as a king myself. You know, and I love him, man. Word.
And that's what's up, man. Let's bring dope ass music up in here. Dope, holla at us, baby.
Hey, what it do? You know what I mean? Hey, I'm just listening to all my positive kings and queens up in here speaking the truth and the knowledge. You know what I'm saying? And shout out to Mandela, because I don't know. Our biggest thing as you know, I call us black people, whatever, you know what I'm saying, politically correct, whatever. But, you know, at the end of the day, how many of us are willing to go to jail or die for our convictions? And that's what keeps a lot of us down, because, you know, when them tanks roll up, it's good to talk a whole bunch of shit, but when them tanks roll up, are you willing to die?
Mm-hmm. I'm willing to die. This life is not mine anyway. I am willing to die. I'm a tool to be used. I said it from the beginning and I say it now. I'm a tool to be used for the good, for the education, for the power, and for the empowerment of the people. I am willing to die because I know this life is not mine. I'm not afraid to die. I have had this in me since I was 16 years old. There was a event that happened in my life that gave me the understanding that I'm not afraid to die. This life is not my own. And you're right, GOAT. We talk. A lot of people talk. We can get it in, but when them tanks roll over, when you gotta be locked down for 30 years, will you do it? You know, will you put your life? And that's exactly why we call this show Frontline Fridays, because all of these people on the phone are artists. Every last one of them: Tay Black, Denia, Money Meek, J Real the Realist, Dope Ass Music. Diva talk a little verse, but I'm just saying this: we are on the front line, and we are educating one another, and what a great thing that we can come together on this panel. And people will hear this show all over the world. I'll take a look at the archives later. We got people in Spain, people in Canada, people in Africa listening. It's so important for us to continue to have these conversations and continue to have these sessions in our home, on our shows, in our music. I'm encouraging us to keep continuing to talk about our African history, our Black history. Dope, I want to throw it to you one more time because I want to talk about, and I'm so glad, Jay Rodarillis, man, such a great brother. I'm glad that he brought up the inventions because I want to talk about a lot of inventions that Black people made. So I'm going to throw it to you, Dope. Holler at us.
Man, well, I mean, the first one I think of is my man, George Washington Carver. You know how many patents he got off of peanuts? You know
right?
what I mean? I mean, the stuff we use today.
Peanut butter jelly time.
You know what I mean?
Cold. And then, George Washington Carver was so cold. I'm sorry. I know it's on you right now, but this real thing. George Washington Carver went into the forest, right? It's said to be known that George Washington Carver's in Boston went into the forest, into the land, and came back in 7 days with 50 inventions.
Wow.
50, yeah, went out, and when they asked him, well, this is true, look it up. He went in the forest for 7 days, came out with a list on a paper with 50 different brand new inventions of things you use every day that they had never heard of. And when they asked him, how'd you get the inventions, he said, the trees and the plants told him. Now, they said this man was crazy, but it wasn't the trees and the plant. It went into more of a metaphysic, chaotic, you know, when you get on that level as far as you know, how the land will speak. This is our originality. This is what we used to speak to the land. This ain't no Pocahontas Disney Channel stuff. This is stuff we used to do. We could get back in tune with that, you know, if we just came together and did it right. My bad.
Also, Imagine Mandela, he was good in two academics when he was in college, too. He was also a boxer and he ran track. See, you know what I'm saying? Nelson Mandela run deep, man. You got to do the history on Mandela. You know, I had to do a whole, you know, epical write-up on him back in the, you know, couple years back, you know, the school day. He was tight in boxing and track, man. Word. He had a lot of things going for him, man. He just basically known through the people at just serving that time. You know, Mandela was, you know, he had started the learn for the law firm, which I think it was the ANC or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like I said, the Mandela and Tambu law firm, where they would cater to people that, you know, that has low budget income to seek legal aid and for, you know, for cases and whatnot. And, you know, right. They had moved against him because of that. You know what I mean? Some more, you know, newfound activists, and, you know, he was prosecuted with treason. He wound up being acquitted for it, but it's just the whole point of him just being that he was always a righteous man, leading the people in the right aspect
right.
of life, you know, just trying to help his race as a culture. And he was always blocked because of that, man, you know, because, you know, we was under this racist supremacy of the white man, the Caucasian, as they would speak.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a tradition of this, and he was trying to break this tradition. See what I'm saying? And
right.
you know, but the chief that he was under, you know, it was the chief. You know what I mean? The chief was siding with the Caucasians and placing them under more submission of their supremacy of the Caucasian. You know what I'm saying? He was a turncoat, basically.
Can anybody remember when apartheid ended? In South Africa, because I can't remember the date. It was pretty recent, though, because the apartheid ended. I want to say in the 70s or the 80s, but it was, like, way after it, we had integration in America. Does anybody remember the date or the year that ended? I can't remember.
Well, we're going to go ahead and research that. We're going to take a music break, and when we come back, we're going to get into more of this. It's Frontline Fridays with Diva Ebony B, Tay Black, Zaniah, Money Me, Jay Real the Real is dope ass music in here. Everybody is on the line. Press the one button to be heard. It's your girl Diva Ebony B. This is a hot track right here by Miss Maniac McGee called I Have a Dream. Let's go.
From every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, Black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last, thank God Almighty, we are free at last. I have a dream. 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 I have a dream.
You know that.
I have a dream.
Okay, let's go. I'm Cheers. You already know what it is.
Okay.
Knuckle up.
Let's go.
Bitch.
You already know what it is.
Hustle
okay. Squad. I'm colder than the blizzard in winter in mid-December. Hit them with the verses and suddenly they remember. Metaphor flow. They better stop looking, listen like they treated fell in the forest and no one yelled timber. Something missing from the equation. Saber the villain added with Reaper equals spades. A little drink for the occasion. My gentleman party, not to be played with. We bring the noise like a siren. Clear your girl bitching up quick like I'm fighting. And then I'm right back at it. Cooler in the spot than the other side of the moon. Dark high, like no lights in the attic. And I'll probably wet my wife in this place if she'll have it. Until then I roll up like the blunts do. Cause my paws feng shui kicks like kung fu. Okay. Yes, I just returned from the mothership. No need for low jack, cause this whip be hovering. I started up and then I take off. Gas around and spitting in ciphers like I was Adolf. But Schindler couldn't list this. And what if I blink? Then brother, you gon' miss this. To the beam up, I got it. Cause that's 2 10-stack cheese and then paw. So I just save and clean heat. Sand in my toes from the waves of this beach. Sitting at the dock of the bay with a half pound of purple when I thought off gas. Okay. 3,000 in this thing to us. Opposition trying to bring the flame to us. 0 degrees, we watch that flame combust. Turning the vapors and float away in dust. Yeah, it's all sounds in the wind. Can you hear my potential arising again? Leaving, never to come back and contend. While the child stands alone in the back of the class. Hands up, but nobody dare to answer. The problem that we're facing by the serious is cancer. Well, just leave it to me. I'll be the motion in the picture that they needed to see. I'll be the pollen full of flowers and the birds and the bees. I sow the seeds, grow the trees, so they sway in the breeze. And good grief, will I ever lie in ease in these streets? Open up the mind to you so we breathe. Listen to the songs of Elder B. Lee, cause all the rest is just a repeat.
You already know it's your girl Diva Ebony B, and you are now tuned in live to Frontline Fridays, where we turn it up each and every Friday, 7 p.m. on the west and 10 p.m. on the east. Make sure you call us up at 347-850-1521. That's 347-850-1521, and press the 1 button to be heard. Also, jump in our chat room at www.blogtalkradio.com/DivaSpot. Again, that's www.blogtalkradio.com/DivaSpot. Follow me on Twitter at Diva Ebony B, and follow Tay Black on Twitter at KBlack84. Want to give a big Diva shout out and 2 snaps in the air for my boy over there. Blast Your Thoughts is live in the chat room. Definitely see you. We're getting into this great discussion about Nelson Mandela, about the black culture, about the black history, well, African, excuse me, the African culture and the African history and all the great things about our peoples. And just like J. Rhoda Rose was saying, we are inventors. We invented mad stuff. So a lot of us don't know. So I want to give y'all a few things that we invented, and J. Rhoda Rulers has definitely stepped our game up and educated us a lot. Again, peace queens and peace queens kings who are listening right now. So let's start with the air conditioner unit. Frederick M. Jones, and it was July 12, 1949. Frederick M. Jones created the air conditioner unit, and it was established or created July 12, 1949. The auto cutoff switch. Gainesville T. Woods, January the 1st, 1839. He created the auto cutoff switch. His name was Gainesville T. Woods, and that was January the 1st, 1839. It was one I've seen. Here it is, the biscuit cutter, A.P. Ashbourne, November 30th, 1875. The blood plasma bag, Charles Drew, approximately 1949. Cellular phones, Henry T. Sampson, July 6, 1971. The chamber commode, T. Elkson, January the 3rd, 1897. The dryer, the clothing dryer, G. T. Sampson, June 6, 1862. The curtain rod. I love curtains because I got a whole bunch of curtains around here. I just like changing my house, period. S.R. Scranton, S.R. Scranton, November the 30th, 1839. The doorknob, as J. Real was talking about earlier today, it was O, well, it doesn't have the first name, but O. Dorothy, Mr. Dorothy, or Mrs. Dorothy, you could, y'all get the name, somebody... first name of the person who created the doorknob. I need y'all to do that now so we can give their proper name because we on the front line, but it was created December the 10th, 1878. The doorstop as well, Dorothy created in 1878. The dustpan, Lawrence P. Ray, August 3rd, 1897. The egg beater, Willie Johnson, February the 5th, 1884. And I'm while I'm talking to, it was just put on me for the February days, we all going to do something special, especially when it comes to online promotion and teaching our kids. Because February the 5th, we should be talking about Willie Johnson and the egg beater. The electrical light bulb, Louis Lantern, March 21st, 1882.
Mm-hmm.
The elevator.
Mm-hmm. See, y'all using this stuff every day, though. Y'all using this stuff every day. Every single day. And you don't even know. You using it and you think Macy's and Company or Sears made this stuff. You don't know you made this.
You made
it. If it wasn't for you, this stuff wouldn't be making it. Because you got to realize, like we were talking about before, we civilized nations. We came in to bombard it, people who were barbarians, we came into their nations and we paved their streets and made sure they had sidewalks to where they cars and horses didn't ride with the people. We invented the sidewalk. We lit the streets with lamps. We invented the reason why there's lamps so you can see when you're riding up the street, that's because of us. We did that. We domesticated animals. People had in Europe. I mean, once again, I'm not saying putting anybody out, but this is the history. Look it up for yourself. People in Europe used to let their barn animals run in and out their house, so they'd be eating dinner, and their horse be eating dinner right next to them, or their dog be boo-booing on the next to them. We came in and brought and taught them how to say no. You put your pigs in the pigsty. You put your horses in the horse pen. You farm your animals. You put them out here. You don't let them run in and out your house. Then we brought in music, astrology, astronomy, mathematics. We brought in all of that. We are the creators and the bringers of the light of life. And you sitting on the couch, and you feeling like you lower than nothing. But they want you to feel that way, because as long as you feel that way, you don't know your potential. That's why you can't get back in your natural order and start being who you really need to be.
Let's talk about some more of this. The fire extinguisher, T. Marshall, October the 26th, 1874. The folding bed, L. C. Bailey, June 18, 1899. The folding chair, Brody and Schwarzwar. Brody, and say it again, King. Schwarzwar, June 11, 1889. The fountain pen, W.B. Prentice, January the 7th, 1890. Oh, look at this one. The iron board, shout out to Sarah. The iron board, Sarah Boone, December the 30th, 1887. The mop, Thomas W. Stewart, June 11th, 1893.
And I'm sorry, but if I'm not mistaken, the cell phone should be on that list, too.
The cell phone should be on that list, too.
Henry, everybody on this line is on the cell phone. We own something we invented. And you act like you can't live without your phone. I don't care who you are. I act like I can't live without my phone. We all attached to our phones. It's like we got new growths coming out of our hands, because our phones is our livelihood, what we do, how we communicate. But realize you invented that.
Hmm.
Hey, another thing I wanted to see Diva too about Mandela. People don't know too how he had got the whole 27 years needed. Mandela was basically did a strike. I think it was about 1961. And then later prosecuted a whole year later, which was, I think it was 1962. David Spode only got 5 years. But, you know, once they got him in the bang, they railroaded him. He was brought up to trial a whole 2 years later after being incarcerated in 1962. 1963, it was given life now. Him and I think it was 10 other people. But as a total, it was 150 of them that was locked up that was leaders of the, I think, the ANC firm. Also, Mandela achieved his bachelor's degree in prison. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He wound up achieving that in prison. You know, he was basically railroaded, man, as a black man, because he was always a nonviolent activist. And they, you know, they couldn't stand that. You know, it's easy to go off violence, but it's hard to do the right things. And you know, at the time, you know, the Constitution as a whole was basically is a hustle. See what I'm saying? To incarcerate our people is a hustle. And another thing I want to state, if you look into the dictionary, it says black is unpurified or unpure, but white is something else. If you look at black, can't nothing beat the color black. I don't care what color you put against it. I don't care what paint you put on it. You can't mess with the black, man. We are it, man. So know who y'all are and keep striving, man. Word.
It's time for us to take our place. Let's talk about that, you guys. We have definitely, and I'm so glad that we are highlighting the good in our culture, in our people. And not only that, we having positive talks about our people, but putting out positive image as well. Taking the time out to educate yourself. We talked about the problem. Let's talk about the solution. How can we encourage and continue to encourage and empower our young sisters, young brothers, older, wiser sisters, wider brothers to be able to research their culture and to realize where they came from and seeing that you can have a peaceful protest and a peace and nonviolent and be able to do stronger things. We do that by example.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we do that by example, the way we talk, the way we walk, our businesses, the way that we support one another, the way that we educate ourselves. We do this by example. We share and build with one another. Knowledge should definitely be free. If you know something that sister or brother doesn't know, then you need to teach them. I know a lot of us have little patience, just like me. I have little patience for ignorance. But I was able, and big shout out to DJ Casper Banks, too, because I was just on a conference call with some great kings, and he was able to help Diva understand that ignorance, it can definitely be changed, but it's not that they're ignorant because they want to be ignorant, it's because they're ignorant because they don't know. So instead of me turning up my nose and turning my face and calling them new niggas or whatever, I wasn't doing nothing but bringing the people back to where they was at by exposing their faults. So before I say something negative out of my mouth, let me say something positive out of my mouth and educate this person. Now, it's up to them to take it, because just like we said earlier in the show, Harriet Tubman, that they put that posting up on Facebook. It said, Harriet Tubman said, I freed 1,000 slaves, and I would have been able to free 1,000 more if they knew that they were slaves. A lot of us don't know that we are slaves. A lot of us don't know that we're suffering from an identity crisis and that we have been put in a position to think that, you know, this person, if we do this for this person, if we hope get down with this team, it's going to be all peaches and cream, and it's not good. And the reason why I said that, because I want to take y'all to how our people actually came into slavery. Now, slaves have been around forever. Don't get it twisted. Like, we as the people that we did not have some slaves, because we did. Now, here was the thing when the Europeans came over to West Africa, to the coast. We were trading people, we were trading goods for the gun trade. And Gabriel DeRose, you can jump in if I'm wrong and correct me at any time. But there was a gun trade.
Oh no, you good? You good? I'm peeping out because you know I know
okay.
the story, so you know.
There was a gun trade. We were trading from the Europeans. We were trading people and trading goods, people, things for goods. Now it would be to an advantage if you were a king or a queen of a land for you to have these guns, which at that time was modern day technology, or to have these guns so you can be able to protect your land. You don't want to bring a knife to a gunfight. So I understand why this was trading, but there was a difference in African slaves and the European slaves. There was a slave, and I'm about to get his name in a few, but he notated, it was documented. He was like, when I was enslaved, or when I was a slave for the African people, I was considered family. And it was known, it was said to me that this is a temporary thing. You are not going to be our handmaid or our helper or our slave forever. He said, I was treated like family, and it was only a temporary position. But when I was enslaved by the Europeans, it was totally different. This man said totally different. He said, I was treated inhumanely, and my slavery was told to me that it would be forever. This is how the slave thing came about, y'all. And it really helped me to really think
Where's
about
mine?
It too.
Where's mine? Oh, I found it.
The Willie Lynch syndrome. You know how they got that thing going on with the Willie Lynch syndrome. We gotta
okay.
stop knocking
Diva.
Each other. Yeah.
Diva, real quick, okay. Because as you're talking, you know, I'm going through my files and I'm going through my bookshelf. And I'm trying to find my literature. Okay, this is a book that I want everybody who's inquisitive about this information that we're talking about, if you're listening in, and maybe you want to have some views or you got some questions about what we're talking about and the accuracy, I want you to go get a book. Now, you can Google this book. It's called To Be a Slave. Now, this book is Puffin Modern Classics, Julius Lester. Now, this is an actual book that your child is going to read or have the opportunity to read in the course of their education because it's on their bookshelf. Now, this book consists of actual first-hand or second-hand accounts of slaves. I'm talking about people, actual reporters, who went during slavery and got accounts of how these slaves and got interpreters to give accounts of how these slaves got captured and this and that and other types of things. The gun trade was a lot. There was a lot of other things going on the west coast of Africa. I'm just give a account of one story so you can understand what I'm talking about, how this book is. There's an account of a lady. Now, there's a white man who interviewed her during slavery. She was a slave. He was a reporter. This is pre-Civil War. And they have the date and everything, but she gives account through a translator that the way that she got captured from the west coast of Africa is that they had never seen silk or satin or anything of that material before. And it was especially of a bright red color. So what happened was, and definitely you see these pale-faced people with these metallic armor suits on, you know, you're dealing with the Spaniards, so they're wearing this metal suit because, like you said, they have guns. They have the knowledge and technology of guns prior to what is brought to this coast. So they have the armor already to deal with this type of stuff. So she's following. They're laying this stuff on the coastline, and she's following this stuff on the coastline. She says people never seen it, so they flocked to it. They picked it up. They followed it, and all they did was lay it out and lay it out and lay it out until they got enough of them on the dock of the boat, and they just shut the boat, and that was the last time she saw Africa. Now, this account would tell you one of two things. If you're going to take it one of two ways, because you can take it as how we are, people who are we are people who learn through visual. That's why one of our sayings is don't talk about it, be about it. Don't say it, show me. We're real big on that as a people. We don't want to hear what you got to say. We want to see what you can do. That's because that's the way we learn. That's the way we grasp hold of things, by seeing it and interacting with it. So these people, you would say one or two things, these people are stupid as hell because they walked up on the boat and allowed them, but you're dealing with people who've never seen things. Or these people are so inquisitive about what they're trying to get that, you know, they got baffled into being on this boat and got suppressed onto this boat, and that was the last time they see they land. But once again, the book is To Be a Slave, and this is a book about, I'm looking at the pages now, about 335 pages. These are different accounts of slaves, of what they went through, actual first-hand and second-hand accounts. So if you really want to know how it was, and, you know, watching Roots is good because Alex Haley did his thing and all that, but at the same time, there are countless accounts of how people lived, and you need to understand and know how they lived before you can walk around talking about black power, wearing black medallions, and you don't know what the hell you're talking about. Know what the hell you're talking about, you know, first of all. Don't just be proud. Be proud with the information that you have about yourself, and be proud about that. Don't just be proud because somebody threw up something that's different and you want to be a part of that. Know what you're talking about, because all these things that Diva read off that we have made and invented, you had no idea before this conversation. Now you're thinking about yourself maybe a little bit different. And to answer your question, this is the main thing I wanted to say before I got the link of information. To answer your the question that you put out, that you answered, but I wanted to give a little bit to, was the fact of how do we start getting our people to want this information, to want to learn, to know how to learn. What we have to do is we have to understand that we have to incorporate it with all the things that we think that have us hooked. If the TV got us hooked, we need to stop spending so much money at the liquor store and at the mall, and maybe somebody needs to put it in a pot to get Diva a TV station, you know, or some TV time, so we can take Diva off the radio and put her on TV. And turn her, and us as a collective people, even though we're small, we can turn Diva into the next Oprah. If we want our kid, if we want our children or our grandchildren to look at Diva as the next Oprah, we can do that. All we got to do is put a little bit in the pot, get her a show on your local network, and they'll put that on a major network. And next thing you know, she might be on BET, but that's the only time I'm going to turn it on when I hear Diva on it. You know, I'm willing to watch, and I'm willing to, because that's, we got to get, and we got to put it into music. That's why everybody having this conversation is an artist, because they're not really an artist. They artists, but they revolutionists, and they people who want change. And that's what, and we're trying to do it through the music. That's why we're artists, because we're trying to admit change through the only thing we know how to reach people.
I mean, but I think the biggest thing is we need to stop buying into the hype. Like the whole thing with the note, J.J. Russ talks about, you know, with the bag and cast, and that's what the express is. However, it's not a good look. It's making these kids sitting there running, like having their pants so far down their knees they can't even walk. Not a good idea. It's not helping the situation at all. And then you have these kids that are sitting here have this idea of what's quote unquote cool, and they're thinking having the gold teeth, having all these cars, having these guns, and killing each other is fun and okay. And that's why I get so frustrated when we talk about Chief Keef and all these other artists. I'm like, look, y'all talk about Chief Keef from Chicago. I'm not claiming him. Shoot. He does not stand for anything positive at this point. And now they're like, oh, well, he's trying to change his ways. Well, it's too freaking late. You are 17 years old and you sitting there decided to just make these kids think you were so hot and this and that. And now you're talking about banging. And you're talking about, you know, Little Georgia deserved it. The kid was like, what, 16? It's a mess. We have kids killing kids in the city. And that's why I get so frustrated. Like, my heart still goes out to people up Sandy Hook. But goddamn, Chicago, we had like 50 shootings in one weekend, and nobody blinked. That was all over the news. That was the news here, but didn't nobody else know? Other people that knew were probably Diva and some other people that knew me because I was talking about it. So I'm sitting here, why is nobody going crazy about this? Now they're talking about, Sophia Williams, the young lady that was killed. You know, the only reason she's getting recognition is because she was at the inauguration. Otherwise, this would have been another black girl dead, period. And they could see, and that's all it is. That's the only reason she's getting recognition. So, yes, we're happy about that. And they're talking about, oh, you know, they're going to
put more cops back on the street. That's not going to help the situation. The cops are part of the damn problem.
The
he has to stop falling to the line.
The slain Chicago team was in the anti-violence, the PSA, and her name was Hadia Hadia Pendleton, and she did a YouTube video. It says, "Hi, my name is Hadia. This commercial is information for you and your future children. So many children out there are in games, and it is your job as students to say no to games and yes to a great future." That voice of a 15-year-old Hadia Pendleton, who was shot and killed on Chicago's South Side the week after she performed as Margaret at events surrounding President Obama's second inauguration. She was killed and murdered. But she did an anti-violent PSA and said, I want to quote her again. "Hi, my name is Hadia. This commercial is information for you and your future children. So many out there are in gangs, and it is your job as students to say no to."
Okay. Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Okay, I thought it cut off for a second.
I mean, y'all already know what that be about, man. So, you know.
I already know what that be about. But, I mean, the thing about that is, now that I've seen that the person, the group that did it, made the mistake and thought that the group of kids that I'm sure were very, very just a small group of African American kids, I think it was two girls and a boy.
Yeah.
Never been involved in gang activity ever in their life. The dumb finger stop.
On the outside, people want.
Alright, bro, hold up, man. Check dig, man. It's the big homie DJ Solis, a.k.a. Mr. Trapnificent, the Carolina representative, all that good shit, you know what I mean? And right now, I'm rocking with the homie Slay Stone.
On another day, all I care about is getting paid. These bitches know a nigga great, a straight killer on the interstate. Talk that work cause I get it in. Better ask about me, homie, I know how to win. See, they don't know what it takes to make up him. Couple hundred thou with my OG trying to break up 10. Better pay attention when I drop these gems. I am the man, my hand to God. Move at work, never lie. Risk my life, I am the Don. A living legend, I done made a million trips. Game beats, no, I done made a million flips. I'm in my zone, from my hood to the other side. All the real dope boys, they know how I ride. On the grind, just getting my grip. I do this shit till my family rich. You see, them niggas don't matter. I'm whipping up the batter. I'm trying to get rich tonight. You see, them bitches don't matter. I'm climbing up the ladder. I'm trying to get rich tonight. You see, them niggas don't matter. I'm whipping up the batter. I'm trying to get rich tonight. I'm climbing up the ladder, I'm trying to get rich tonight. Just watch my moves. Know a lot of things, but I don't know how to lose. Feel the pressure, they say it's up to you. Tough times don't last, tough people do. Riding harder than ever before. Grinding harder than ever before. Shining harder than ever before. Ain't no thanks here about that change. Go places you never will go. Got them open, I'm hoping they making bigger bets. Keep going against me, my nigga, I'm taking bigger steps. You see the best, respect. Ask anybody who know me, dog, they see me fresh. You get a lot of cash, you get a lot of stress, and some gray hair, and the greatest sex. See your soul about that thing that's pumping in your chest. You see them niggas don't matter, I'm whipping up the batter, I'm trying to get rich tonight. You see them bitches don't matter, I'm climbing up the ladder, I'm trying to get rich tonight. You see them niggas don't matter, I'm whipping up the batter, I'm trying to get rich tonight.
Anytime I hear about my youth being murdered, being killed, it affects me in a whole totally different way. I'm a radio personality, but I'm a woman. I'm human, baby. I swear. And it caused me pain to know that that young lady was killed, and she was doing what was right and trying to bring her peers and her people out of destruction. My question is now, and I'm going to pose this question because we back up in this thing. How do we protect our future queens, our future kings? How do we protect our leaders? What can we do as a people to protect our leaders?
Stop trying to one-up each other.
Huh?
Stop trying to one-up each other and actually start working together because we're so concerned about one upping each other and who got the best car, who got the best this and that, blowing money like nothing when we get it. And then we're sitting here wondering why we can't have programs for our kids because government funding has got cut. If people that had money, you know, actually put it back into the community and actually started to build organizations where we didn't have to worry about government funding, we wouldn't have this problem.
Yeah.
And this is Jay Real speaking, you know, I just want to interject. If we had leaders, let's use the leader part, because once we have strong leaders, as leaders start leading, then we really wouldn't have to worry about the youth. The youth will follow as we do. But as far as taking care and protecting our leaders, because of what the queen just said, what we're dealing with on a daily basis as far as who got the better car, who got the better this, if we appointed one leader, then another leader, because that's the problem we've had within our leadership of our people. What a lot of people don't know is that our leadership just didn't die with Malcolm and Martin and, you know, got shabby with Al Sharpton and all these people. We got people that's actually making decisions for us as a community, as a people. We just don't know their names, because they're not out there like that. But people are making decisions for us. But my advice would be to inform. See, if you got a collective leader, then who could be, why does it have to be, this is what the great leaders were trying to put to us. They don't have to be a specific leader. You know, there doesn't have to be a specific individual to take stand and say, I've got a collective message from my people, and I want to direct it to this. Now, when it comes to the House of Representatives, things like that, government, yeah, you have to induct one person. But as a collective, we all on one accord. We all have the information, and we all can be leaders at any point in time. We can all step up and lead. Then we wouldn't have to worry about protecting ourselves, and we definitely wouldn't worry about protecting our assets, our children, our education, because, I mean, what we're being fed and what we've been fed is backwards, and it's really crazy that the
youth. And I knew that. That's why, you know what I'm saying, let her know.
the youth, we have to really get into what they're learning. We got to stop putting them in front of the TV.
And my bad shit. Like, I'm all right. You know what I'm saying?
Wait, what? Money Mate, who are you talking to?
Hello?
Yeah, Money Mate, who are you talking to?
Oh, no, that was somebody in the background. They were part of the AOF team. That was it. I'm listening.
Oh, okay. I was just saying, we got to get into what our kids are bringing home. We got to stop allowing, we got to stop just sending them out the door, asking them, oh, you got homework, you don't have homework, and that type of stuff. We, not for the simple fact that if they're doing it or not and getting good grades, we need to know what these people are teaching our children. Because whatever they're teaching them, that whatever we're teaching them at home is going out the window when they get to school. So what are they? We need to know what's being taught when they. You know, math is not always everybody's best subject. Even though we are the astronomers, we are the one who map the stars. So math is our second language. We communicated through numbers at one point in time, but math for a lot of us is not our strong subject. But then when it comes to that reading, when it comes to that history and that world history and all that type of stuff, that stuff that they're teaching our children about their history, about their, not their history as far as your child. I'm talking about their history as far as the people who wrote these books. These are the people's history that they're teaching you. They're not teaching your child their history. They're teaching their child their own history. And another fact of the matter is, did you know that every book, now you don't take it from me. Research it yourself. Every book that is in American schools, from here to Bed, from South Central Los Angeles, from Morningside High School, Inglewood Crenshaw, to any school that's in Bed-Stuy or anywhere else, has to be approved and signed off by an editor in the Vatican. Did you know that?
Uh-uh.
When they write when the Colosseum,
I'm not surprised.
People don't just sit down and write books. People don't just sit down and write books and say, you know, this is what's going to be what's taught in the school. That's a collective of minds who have researched and come together and say, this is what the history is, this is what the curriculum is. Then it has to go to the Vatican, and it has to get approved by the Vatican before it comes into your school system.
But, I mean, I think the one thing about that I would say about the books that the kids are reading and the fact that the books they have to read, like the books they have to read in high school, pay attention to what your kids are supposed to read and quote-unquote has to read. Because everything's not good for them. Like, when I was in high school, I refused to read Of Mice and Men. Why? Because the only black character in that damn book, the only thing I saw was his name was nigger. And I was done. I was like, I refuse to read this because I did not want to read a book that's the man had no name to the end of the book. I was done. Tell your children they can say no. Take the step and be done. If you are uncomfortable doing it, don't do it. Take the grade and understand that you are standing up for yourself. Because I was like, I'm not doing it. I don't care if I fail it. I refuse to do it because I'm not comfortable reading this. I had a book that I was supposed to read to one of my kids, and I was working at City Year. And the book consisted of, I guess, an epidemic or whatever, so when mosquitoes went crazy or whatever, and they were, in the picture of the book, there was a mosquito eating the child's face. Now, I said, hell no, I'm not teaching my 8-year-old this. You have lost your mind. I will go and find books myself and create my own curriculum to teach these kids and get them to do this. I'm not doing it. Start saying no. And what happened? My kids passed every single class. They actually, for the level that they went up, 2 grade levels because of what I taught them outside of what I was supposed to teach them. Because I said, no, I'm not putting my kids through this. I'm not traumatizing my kids. But some of these books are not good for these kids. Your kids should not have to sit there and sit through Roots all the time. Your kids should never have to, like, when I was in 8th grade, they wanted to take us to see Amistad. That was not an option to me. I was like, no, that's an R-rated movie. My cousin had almost had a heart attack from it. Like, he was like 16 and he freaked out because of it. These are what these people are trying to do, and they will do it if these parents let them.
I think the Amistad, that should be seen. The Amistad, the Emmett Till story, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, 500 years later, that definitely need to be viewed. We need to watch that tonight. 500 years later, it's on YouTube, it's on Netflix, watch it. Watch it. Watch 500 years later. Watch and sit down with your kids.
I mean, and another thing too, like, you the head of the house, how you gonna let your kid tell you what they ain't gonna do? I had one of my girlfriends say, well, you know, I don't tell, I don't make my kids, you know, sit down, or I don't make them do something that they want to do. That's a form of supremacy and such. I said, you're a damn fool. There is no making. Me and you sitting down, we having a good time together, and guess what? We going to learn something about our culture and our people. But this is the same woman that says she don't make her kids because she feel like it's another way to be an oppressor and to hold them down and whatnot. But this is the same kid that ignores her while he on the phone that she pay for every month on his iPhone. She on an iPhone?
No.
I asked him, I said, do you know who Emmett Till is? He was like, who that? Who
wow.
that?
Oh,
I
want
to smack her. I want to take my belt off and whoop him too. I had to remove myself. I did. It's a difference, and that's why I put on Facebook earlier today. Water your seed of success and knowledge with love, with knowledge, and with experience. You want to water yourself. You want to help yourself grow. You are a seed. And if you don't put good things into your seed, you will not get a good growth. I'm glad that you said what you said about being one up on each other. Because all of these cars and these cash and these houses and whatnot, those who really know what it is to have all these cars and clothes and houses, it ain't nothing but another bill and another headache. Trust me, Diva, no. To have a Macy's account is a headache. To have a car and a car note and to have insurance and gas and repair is a headache. And not to mention if you get pulled over driving while black or driving while diva, I'm going to say that. You're getting a ticket, okay? But so don't get so excited about what you see the next person got. Create your own happiness. And one thing I'm going to say, and I'm going to shut up with this, the simple life is the value life. When you live simple, you have value. There is nothing wrong with living simple and being able to till your own land, to grow your own garden, to fix your own house. Stop waiting on somebody to come around and do it for you, to help you out. Oh, can you do this? And, you know, and that's the problem with a lot of us, too. We too busy looking at what the other one got and what is shiny and gold and don't even see none of that has value.
Can I say something real quick, Diva?
Yeah.
This is Jay Real. I know I'm interjecting and stuff, but I just wanted to say this. We built the pyramids. Now, the pyramids didn't happen overnight. As a matter of fact, it took a few thousand years to build pyramids in its whole entirety with its full vision. Now, let me ask you this question. This is a question knowing that knowledge. Do you think that today's modern science can't even replicate how they built the pyramids? Do you think that people, a whole race of people, could have built something this great and this splendorous, warring, beefing, fighting with their women, hating on what the other one got, worried about how many camels Ishmael got and how many goats that Didi got and how many this. Do you think of people, of the people who mapped out the stars and circumnavigated the globe, where certain people thought you got to the end of the earth and you fall off? These people had already been around it, had mapped it already out. I'm talking about people that thousands and thousands of years ago did this. Do you think we could have did that with the capacity of chaos that we're living in now, how we think?
Absolutely
we're thinking.
Not.
No, we know you now. You know you come from people who did this. Now, why is it not you think the way they think? Because you do. It's in you. It's in your genetics. The genius is in your genetics to think and feel and look and break down things the way you do. Your personality is not just because of what they say it is, because what somebody wrote down in a book and say you did this or you like that. That comes from your ancestors. You were doing something that somebody did millions of years ago in their peacefulest time. So when you find that serenity, you know you are in tune with what they did. But just think about these simple things. All the great things that we've done, they kind of want you to think that all the great things we've done have come out of oppression, have come out of us being put down, where they only excel when they're being at the lowest of their system. No, They only keep you down and keep you out because they know you're the best. They wouldn't treat you like you would. Why worry about giving him anything? He's going to fuck it up anyway. Why keep the information from him? Why keep him down? Why keep him in a minority state of mind? Why do that to them if you was going to fuck it up anyway? So what I'm saying is that regardless of what you was going to do with it, I could give you $100 million and you still be a fuck up. You still gonna fuck it off and all that. But they know if they gave anybody on this phone $100 million, we probably turn around and feed families, clothe people, take people off the street, support people, build businesses, put back into the community. No, we not finna just go and be the same slack jaw yokers that we gonna get the bag of money. We gonna say, oh, man, so, you know, I don't know what to do with this money. I don't, what is this? Did this pay for? No, we gonna take that and we gonna build from it. And that's why they keep you out and keep you down. Remember that, because you're the best, not because you're the worst. There's a reason why you feel why you on the couch playing PlayStation, but you've been up since 6:30. Because, nigga, you was supposed to be up and out and working. That's 6:30. That's your natural man instinct. There's a reason why your man get up before you and turn on that game. Because that nigga got a natural man instinct. He got his own manly alarm clock that let him know one or two things. I got to get up and check my house. I got to be the first. You should be the first to get up and the last one to go to sleep. If you got a family, especially. You know, but period. But there's a reason not to take no less from anybody that's going through any situation, anybody who ain't got no job or steady work, because we all one paycheck away from being homeless. Ain't nobody got it like that, and ain't nobody doing it like that. You ain't balling, you balling. That's all you're doing, you taking out a loan.
I want to interject on that right there, King, as far as that job that just over broke. Listen, multiple incomes. Tell y'all something. Right now, multiple incomes do not be dependent on one job. You want to have a job which is just over broke, because, of course, you want to get that chavo. You want to have a business that you run, a good business that you run, and a legal hustle. Hear what Diva said, legal hustle. I made $200 over the weekend, the first week. No, it was October. In October, I made $200 over the weekend because it's a couple of chicks in my complex that likes to go out. All I did was made a flyer. I said, Weekend Warrior Babysitter. And it was $20. You can drop your kid off at 10, and you had to pick your kid up at 12. I made $200 over the weekend just putting a flyer in the laundry room to watch your kids. I provided snacks. All I did was play with them all night, let them play with each other, and by 12 o'clock you had to come and pick your kid up. And this was all by a flyer, and I posted it in 3 different laundry rooms and on 4 different mailboxes, big mailboxes, all the other mailboxes, and they hollered at me.com. They didn't even know me like that. But guess what? They brought
what the heck? Shit just got real.
Right. I'm like, I have no idea what happened. And they're still alive.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah, but people don't understand.
I think it's the feds, man. They fucking with us, man.
I'm not surprised.
Hey, look, though, like you were saying, Netflix and all that, check out the Black Power mixtapes. It's on Netflix right now. Talib Kweli said that he was listening to some Elgis Cleaver tapes of him speaking, some Bunchy Carter and all that, some Panthers. He said they stopped him at the airport and put him in a room and asked him why he was listening to this stuff in his house. They weren't there, but they pulled him over to, this is what he gave testimony to this. He was like, I was listening to some black, you know, some speeches, Bunchy Carter speeches, some old stuff that we probably can't get a hand up on. But he was listening. He said they pulled him over in the airport, pulled him to the side, put him in a back room, went through his bag and told him, look, man, We hear you listening to this stuff in your home and all this other type of stuff. What are you planning to do? Talib Kweli. On the black, it's called the Black Power Mixtape. It's got a picture of Maya Angelou on the front of it with the big fro. You know what I'm saying? From when they were trying to lock her up. Her and Asada Shakur and all that when that was going on. But this stuff, it goes deep. And it's more than just knowing it. We got to know how to use it.
Exactly. I mean, like I said, a lot of people don't. They sit there and they use the internet to sit there and talk mess. And ooh, it's like social networking is about networking, not sitting there talking about your baby mama and I broke up with this person and then I got back together and but he beat me. But then I want to go back and
yeah, that's the illusion. See, that's the illusion. That's the illusion. That's what they want
exactly.
you. That's what they want you to see. The illusion. As long as you're locked up in illusions, then you can't see the truth. That's the greatest deception in the world. To take an illusion and make it somebody's reality and make them think that illusion that you have put in front of them is the reality that they
exactly.
live. That is the greatest illusion. That is the greatest trick that a magician
right.
can ever pull. And that's what they're
Very
doing
true.
To us on a daily basis. They got us
Very
locked up in an illusion. And we think this illusion, this fake illusion that we're looking at is this mirage. We sit here bathing in this sand like it's water. And it's a mirage, it's an illusion. We think this is our reality, and we will fight and die for this illusion because we don't know no better.
It's a mess.
Well,
there's at least.
Well, I mean, we got about 4 or 5 minutes. We got about 4 minutes left in the show. I want to just give a big shout out to everybody that tuned in tonight, everybody that gave their feedback, and I want everybody to be able to put their information out there in their Twitters so people can be able to network with you and to link up with you and to get more knowledge and gain more knowledge because this is a unity thing. It's not a one-person thing. This is a unity in order for all of us to be able to have some true change and true results, we need to be able to come together as a collective as we came
mm-hmm.
tonight. I want to extend my appreciation and my peace to J. Real the Realist, to Dope Ass Music, to Denia, to Tay Black, to Money Mink, to Blast Your Thoughts, to DJ Catherine Banks, to Kano the Cairo, to Genius, to everybody that continues to support Diva for Phenomenal Radio, to Slate Stone, to Gmo, to Grown, to DJ Froggy, to DJ Sway, to everybody that continues to support. I'm going to go ahead and start at the top with you, Denia. Go ahead and put your Twitter out there and your website.
Definitely. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at DanayaDD for you. And the website is www.danayaDD.com. YAAZURE.com. That's DanayaAzure.com.